but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome.
Welcome back,
Father. Welcome back, Father.
Yay. Yeah, I'm happy, happy and sad to be back. You know,
so, so I know, it's, mixed emotions. It, there.
Mixed emotions. Yeah,
it's, we're happy though.
As I was, as always happens, as I'm coming across the Atlantic, you know, and, well, actually, I had to fly into Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
It was the first time I flew from Rome to Philadelphia, and then we had. By the way, I was on an Airbus. I didn't know what an Airbus was.
I don't know what
an
Airbus
is. It was an U.S. Airways Airbus, but it doesn't have all the fancy gadgets. You know, everybody has their own screen and all that.
Wow.
And so it was kind of an old-fashioned flight, but it was a beautiful plane. It was the seats were very, very comfortable. 10 hours.
Okay.
Wow. 10 hours. But it went well. But I had a major delay in Italy, in Rome. So I got to the airport, and it was like a 5-hour delay.
I thought you refused to get on the plane and come back.
That's what I thought. Oh, he's
no. No. I knew I had to get back.
I know
it's something I had got to be about the work of life. But anyway, so it gave me. So I was actually a full 24 hours in travel.
Yeah.
You can say, you know, from the time I left my place in Rome, got to the airport, took the train to the airport, and got found out that my flight then was delayed.
And you were just so sad, heartbroken.
At that point I was, because I wanted to get. At that point, I didn't want to hang out in an airport for 5 hours.
True.
You know? Although it was interesting, because I was in the international. Usually I'm not in the international, because I fly either to Madrid or to Germany, to Munich, and then from there. But this was international, because it was from Rome to the United States, and so I hadn't been in the international. It's a separate terminal. And I hadn't been in it for many years, and it's really redone it. It's very, very fancy, and you've got all these now other airlines like Qatar and the Middle Eastern airlines, and they are absolutely exquisite, because I had so many hours, so I spent some time in each of the different.
You critiqued each of them.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I was telling somebody. I don't know if you've if anybody has seen the movie Harry Potter's. Nick has. I don't know which one it is, but it's the one where there's some kind of a competition.
The Goblet of Fire, I think.
Perhaps.
That's what you're talking
about.
Yeah, where they have to deal with the challenges.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they have these teams that come in from other parts of the world.
Yes, yes. Different schools of sorcery and magic.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know,
you're right. Yeah.
Well, do you remember when when the women came in and they were all dressed in blue? And
yeah, they had their school uniforms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're just very intimidating, very, very polished.
And then you had the guys on the other side,
the guys,
too.
Exactly.
They're all muscular and athletic.
So to make a long story short, you know, I watched the BBC, you know, of course, and CNN International, and well, BBC they broadcast often or they have advertisements for Qatar. I think it's called Qatar Airlines, and they show the it's a very expensive, very supposed to be the world's best airlines.
Wow!
And they have the pictures of the stewardesses and all that, and they're absolutely. They're absolutely beautiful. I mean, you know, just amazing. So anyway,
Of course, Miss Universe was Latina.
Oh, was she? From
yes, she
where?
Was.
From where?
Colombia. And Miss USA was the runner-up, of course.
Wow.
She was Latina also.
Oh, really?
The Latinos in that house.
Wow, how about that?
Just to have to throw
I
that in there.
That. I wanted to see that.
I didn't know about it. Someone
no,
called me. Are
I'm
you
just
watching?
Joking. No.
Anyway, go ahead, Father.
I'm just joking. I don't know the last. Although I once had my Miss the Miss Florida was my babysitter. I told you this once before.
Yes.
You know, and we watched her in the Miss America pageant. You know, when I was in Delaware, we had moved from Florida to Delaware. But while we were in Florida, she was our babysitter. So we're going back many, many years. Linda Fitz, her name was Linda Fitz. That was her name. And so it was really exciting being in Delaware and watching the Miss America pageant with knowing this is our babysitter. She did pretty. I think she even got first place in talent. Did they do like first place in talent? It seems to me she did.
Mm-hmm. But Miss anyway, I haven't seen Miss America.
She wasn't. She wasn't. She didn't become Miss America. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's. So I was watching. It had been raining all morning. Mm-hmm. So I was watching the planes. I am fascinated by planes and trains and all that. And so I'm watching the. I'm sitting in the one section, just watching the planes come in, and it just amazing as they're coming in and the water and the speed and the what do you call it, the water that's from the wheels and all that. This is very, very interesting. But so I saw the Qatar airline come in. Oh, there's Qatar, and this is beautiful airlines. So I then maneuvered myself over to the Qatar section, where the people are waiting for the flight, because that means the flight's going to, people are going to come off the plane and people are going to go on the plane. You don't see the people coming off the plane because they're in the lower part, and then they go off into the, to wherever, to Rome.
Never to be seen again.
but the flight crew came in, they came up because they had a late, the time, and they were, the shopping is just this.
That's right.
Everything. I was asking Christine, who buys all that stuff? The Gucci and whatever these are, Valentino,
Dolce & Gabbana,
all of that.
Coach.
That's amazing, the stuff. It was everything. But they came, when that flight crew came on to the, into the terminal, it was, as I was telling Nick, or telling you, but Nick saw it, but that was like those, they
nice.
Poised and, the way they walked, the way they look, everything, the way they dressed, it was just...
got your attention.
Well,
huh?
It was. I mean, I thought it was kind of intimidating to all the other stewardesses and stewards, from all the other airlines, But anyway,
were there any guys on there?
There were. Yeah, there were.
Stewards.
Stewards. But then I was.
They catch my attention.
You figure out who were the pilots and who were the stewards. I wasn't sure because there were a lot of stewardesses. Mm-hmm. Stewardesses, but very interesting. I don't know how we got into that, but. The point being, that it's 24 hours in travel.
That's
a long time. So by the time I got back to Chicago, even so, and I called Christina, I think from the airport.
You were in the airport in Philadelphia.
I texted you before.
Oh, you texted me before.
Because I thought the night before, I thought, you know what? I always come back on a cab, and I thought, I just want to see somebody I know, when I get back to Chicago. And so I said, I texted Christine and said, ask your father to pick me up, so that I could.
And it was funny when that was like in the middle of the night. It was like 2 something in the morning.
Yeah.
And I just opened my eyes, and then I got the text because my phone tells me it rings. And then I said, oh, it's Father. And I'm thinking, he's probably wondering, what is she doing up at this time? It's like 2 in the morning.
Right. When all that happened.
I don't know what time it was where you were.
Well, it was, I don't remember.
It was later.
Remember. Yeah.
It was later in the day,
But in any case, but then, of course, with the change of flight, I said, I'll just take a cab because by the time I get into Chicago and I wasn't sure what time,
I didn't
get back to the rectory until about 11:30, which was nice because nobody,
it was quiet.
Able
That's
to
good.
Come in, that was nice. But anyway, as always, a wonderful experience. I just love to be, I'm fascinated by the city, and I know that as I say this, I'm going to be repeating, and I don't want to just talk about my, but it was a retreat.
It was
a retreat, and because of that, I was in I say my companion on the journey, so to speak, was the breviary, was the Liturgy of the Hours, and I think I told Jerry when I got back, because I saw you, I think you're one of the first persons I saw the next day. I think you were the first person I saw.
Do I get a prize?
I got you.
We got a lovely coffee.
I know.
The coffee and the scone.
But anyway, the breviary, just without the distraction, I didn't have the distractions that I have here, which are necessary to life in a parish or anywhere, in a home, in a parish, with a family, whatever. But just to be, because when I'm, just to refresh everybody's memory for those who might be old-time listeners, I hope we still have the old-time listeners here with us. And by the way, I want to say thank you to all those who filled in while I was gone.
Right.
A number of people. I'm not going to even begin to name them, but I want to give a word of thanks to everybody who filled in. January is a time when I take this retreat. You can call it vacation if you want, but it's not a vacation. It's a retreat, but it's a sabbatical. It's a sabbatical. It's rest.
It's a blessing.
And it's a blessing. Oh, is it a blessing? I mean, the thing is, it's over. It's just, I was waiting all year for it, and then all of a sudden it came.
But
and
you
went.
Got next year.
I already told Christine I'm going to take my full 3 weeks. Because this year I cut it short because we have the Catholic Schools Week. But because it takes a week just to kind of
that's right
wind down. But it's a inner city Pustinia retreat. So I've got my place where I stay, and then I walk the streets, and and it's a walking city. Rome is a walking city. A Rome in Rome, right? Roaming is what you do in Rome. Mm-hmm, Rome.
In Rome is home.
The people, they know it's a part of the tradition of the Romans and much of the Italians, but the Romans, it's what they call the passeggiata, the passeggiata. This is everybody's, you walk the streets, people walk. During the siesta time, they walk. And especially in the evening, let's say between 5:30 and 7 o'clock, everybody's out in the streets.
It's an experience.
It is. You've experienced
it. Never experienced anything like it. And even though you don't know the people, you're walking together.
Yeah.
Somehow you're together.
Yeah.
And it's a real nice feeling.
It's a wonderful feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you feel like you're part of this humanity. This, and people, and it's not a rush.
No,
people,
no.
They walk and they talk,
young and old, children, a family, everybody.
And the piazzas, the plazas. What I wanted to say is so that, you go into this, listening, it's just by prayer. What do you mean by prayer? This is a pray. It's not it's just being, just okay. Here I am, Lord. You're with me, so you're my companion on this journey, as you are on the journey of life. I can't imagine, really, to be honest. And I thought about this so often. I cannot imagine how people live without giving any thought, any serious thought, to God. I find it, I guess there is no life apart from God.
No, it's very empty.
For me, it would be.
Yes.
All these, the Gucci and and all that, maybe beautiful things, but there's a lot of beautiful things, but
they don't fill you.
I'm not into purses and all that anyway.
No, we hope not. We hope so. It's a purse.
But
man purses.
But shoes. My problem is the shoes. I'm always looking for good shoes. I say if I go to purgatory for excess, it's because of the money I spend on shoes.
Because a woman, it's probably not.
Because I look for comfortable shoes.
You've got to walk.
Because those streets are... just rough. I find it fascinating the ladies with the high heels.
I don't know how they
walk in those cobblestone streets.
Yeah, I know.
It's just amazing.
And then when it rains, it's slippery, even worse.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very slippery. So, but anyway, you're among the people, and I take the tram. I love the tram. I just always look forward to the tram ride in the evening about 8:30. That's I'll make my walk. I walked twice a day to the Vatican. It's about a 45-minute walk from where I live. And I walk there, and I did not get into St. Peter's. I prayed every day at Santa Maria in Trastevere, which is one of the oldest churches in Christendom, and also St. Mary Major, which is very close, Santa Maria Maggiore, which is very close to where I was staying. And I always prayed there. I always would go there in the afternoon, but to Santa Maria in Trastevere in the morning. And then there was an adoration chapel in the Piazza Venezia, and I used to always, I prayed always there. Other than that, I wanted to be in the streets, and in the streets you pray.
And you saw Pope Francis, because people were asking,
is
Father going to meet with Pope Francis?
Yeah, he asked me to pray for him. He asked me to pray for him as he was leaving the next day for Sri Lanka and for
the
Philippines. And then, of course, he gave my retreat. He did my retreat while I was there, so... which I'll talk about not today, but later, because I thought it was really quite interesting. But I took the, his admonition. People call it an admonition or a chastisement or his challenge. I would say it's a challenge that he gave to the Curia. This was right before Christmas. So when I got there, the first day I got there, I bought the Vatican magazine, the Vatican newspaper in Spanish. I did everything in Spanish because it gave me a chance to really focus in the language and to try to improve. I'm more and more embarrassed that I don't do as well as I do after so many years being in this parish. But I read the newspaper, but they had the whole text of his challenge or admonishment to the his Christmas message to the Curia. That's these are the cardinals and the bishops who work in the Vatican. It'd be like the people in the staff of the White House, right? I guess.
Yeah.
And there's probably about 12 different points, and I took those and I made that as my retreat, you know. And it was really, I tell you, really, really profound and challenging. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, and then we'll take a break, one of the things, because I do have this problem with guilt that comes from my upbringing, I think, you know, that you're supposed to work all the time. You know, my parents never took vacations. They were always there, with the family. And we didn't even, you know, rare that we would take our vacations would be when we were traveling from one military base to another military base. You know, that was our vacation.
But you were always together.
We were always
together.
The
family, yes.
But my parents didn't. They weren't the people that went out to party or went to, they didn't, their whole life was the family.
The family.
So
mm-hmm.
I remember one time when my parents did go out.
Something
to something. No, my mother had her hair done up. She was just like, you know, my mother, who your mean mother and all that, and all of a sudden she comes down the corridor and, who is that? You know,
wow.
She looks so beautiful. Her hair was all done.
So you're saying your mother wasn't beautiful?
No, you know,
I'm just joking.
You know what it's like?
Yeah,
I know.
Was always there with the. She didn't have time. No.
As children, you think of your mother's your mother, right?
Oh,
and
yes.
You see her at her worst all the time. You know, so this is, and, you know, because she's cooking and cleaning
she
and yelling
time
and screaming
for herself.
And all that. Right, exactly. She's 8 kids. Mm-hmm. And here they're going out, having an evening out, probably the only one I can remember of, and just, here she comes, and she had gone to the beauty parlor and had her hair done up and all that, and she said, my mother's really, she's very
beautiful,
and she's very nice, she looks very nice, like a really nice person, you know? But anyway, I don't know why did I bring that up?
No, because you were saying how your parents were always
Let me just conclude here because so this idea that you know you and as a priest I say well the mm-hmm. parish this is my family you know mm-hmm. these are the people that I'm here to they call me father right I'm
yes.
the pastor the father of the parish and so you know you've got your responsibility mm-hmm. is to the people right
yes.
here and so anytime I leave. I feel like I'm leaving the family.
Leaving your children behind.
Yeah. It's like when my father went to Vietnam.
Sure.
You know,
and he
left me in charge of the family. I was the oldest boy, you know, the second oldest, but the oldest son.
Right.
And I remember he said, you know, you're now in charge of the family. Mm. So you kind of live with that sense
yes.
of...
and you want to live up to that.
Almost an exaggerated sense of responsibility, yes. mm-hmm. almost to the point of a messianic complex mm-hmm. that everything depends on me, right?
Right. I feel that way myself too. I know.
You were raised that you were reared
yes,
that way.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and so to leave is there's this guilt that always sets in. Like you know, I abandoned the family.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. You know, why do I deserve this time? You know, when others and then I think of the people who cannot. You know, even our people who can't go back to Mexico,
right,
even when a family member dies and they can't go back,
yeah, mm-hmm.
because their situation.
The situation. That's
and
right.
you know, and then it's and here I'm able to go to Rome. But anyway, to make a long story short, so part of the admonition, one of the chastisements, one of the challenges, the Pope made to the Curia is he called the guilt or the sin of he called it martalismo. Martha, being Martha.
Oh, Marthalism.
In other words, yes, Martha-lism. That you know, work, and Mary chose the better part
mm-hmm.
to be seated at the feet of Jesus to listen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, he speaks about the need for vacation, the need for rest, the need for retreat, mm-hmm. that we've got to, he says, if we've fulfilled our responsibilities, you know, this is not a neglect of your responsibilities. Because there are those who will live their whole life in vacation.
Their whole life. And love every minute of it.
Nice.
But the point is, that, you know, when I read that, I thought, you know, I'm doing what's in my, written into my constitutions, you know, my religious constitutions. You've got to take retreat. You've got to take days off. I don't, I just don't, but... But you've got to take vacation. You got to take your retreat time, and so that's the point I want to make. And when we come back, we'll talk about it. But the breviary, the liturgy of the hours, the prayer of the church, really became my companion, and it just because I didn't do a lot of other reading besides the retreat, but just to delve into the Psalms, into Scripture, into the writings of the fathers of the church and the saints, you know, because every day. It is just, and I was able to pray the whole office every day. It's just so beautiful because you don't have the distractions, so you're just able to delve into the beauty and the riches and the historicity, you know, the history, the wealth of the church contained here in this liturgy of the hours. Very, very, very beautiful, very profound, and so intimate, because you relate and you think, and these are words that were written thousands of years ago. And how timeless and how appropriate for this day and time. So when we come back, I'll talk about my first reflection at the piazza, the plaza rotonda, where the Pantheon is, and we'll just kind of go from there. Also, today is a feast of Saints Timothy and Titus. I was reading their letters today, and they're just so profound, so beautiful. But anyway, we got to take a break. And we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody, and again, thanks for being with us, and it's good to be back. I don't think I mentioned, but I want to say again that I am your brother, and I do share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. You know, that's usually how we begin the program, right? And I think I forgot about
So quick.
So, wanted to talk about myself and my.
That's good. People Tony, like to hear that.
Your time.
Welcome, Father.
Nothing has changed, I guess.
You're already Tony.
Coming in
Except
late.
That, you know, I think I'm going to change my, whatever they put on my tombstone to be, he was late most of the time.
He was late most of the time.
Just
not
getting
all.
Better.
That's right.
You're getting, not much.
Or it's not getting worse.
Well, it's like 20 minutes, 23 minutes into the show, and you're just coming in.
I was telling Christina, I got here just before you were going on, but I guess...
Because you know if you were employed, if you were being paid,
you'd be fired.
You'd
be
fired. By the way, we have to talk about something after the show. Because I came back and there's so many changes I find in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. We'll talk about
that
now.
I was surprised, too.
Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah.
And not only in English, but in Spanish as well.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
radio times are changing.
I'm wondering if there's not some powers to be somewhere that... Anyway, whatever, you know. So we were talking about this retreat, and I just, as I said yesterday, I was speaking about this at the Mass briefly. I didn't, again, it's not like I'm just talking, but I want to put it in the context of the readings. But my first, by the way, I slept 11 hours when I got there. I could. That was heaven.
Of course.
That, I mean, really, that was an experience of heaven.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I got there. I had my first meal, because I got there mid-afternoon. By the time I took the train, got to my place, and I know I go to the same restaurants, and so it's just like I never left. And I had my first supper, not the last supper. My first supper was
wasn't pasta.
Yeah, no, not pasta. No. It was yes, of course, pizza. You know,
pizza.
But before the pizza, it was the
salad,
prosciutto
salad.
With melon. With
now I'm getting hungry.
it was great, and then the wine, and then the pizza. Man. Oh, I can taste it now. It was wonderful.
And it's so fresh.
It's fresh. I love the smell of everything.
The flavors are so intense.
Oh, okay,
so
that's enough.
I am really getting hungry.
You know, I just, you walk the streets and you smell the coffee and you smell the those cornetos, the croissants in the morning. And then by midday, you can smell the garlic and the spices and all that. And
you can smell the roasted nuts.
Yes.
The chestnuts.
I've never eaten, I always smell them, and I've always been tempted. But even the year that I lived there, I've never had a desire to eat them. I don't even know how you eat them, chestnuts, you know. But
it's just the smell of them.
Yeah. So it makes me think. And, you know, I'm kind of sorry that Christmas is over, too. I was thinking about that this morning.
I know, it's sad.
You spend your whole year waiting for that time of year from October through November, December, and now it's... anyway,
it just went by too fast.
It goes too fast. Yeah, it goes too fast, you know. But we don't want, but okay, that brings me to my first reflection, because I was in the piazza, I was in the plaza of at the Pantheon. That's where I went every morning, the first point. It's about a 25-minute walk to the Pantheon, and that's where I would, I'd sit outdoors. And by the way, there was I wasn't in the movie, but I watched the filming of a movie as well.
That's right.
It's really interesting.
You weren't one of the extras there?
No, I kept trying to get in the way. Hoping to get in there. But I have to tell you, that was the second day. But before I get into the spiritual part, so I'm walking into the piazza, the plaza. This is the square, the plaza, we'd say.
Mm-hmm.
They said piazza. And I see this bishop. And I see these three priests, and one of the priests was really just so attractive. I couldn't believe he was a priest. You know, he was just a very handsome man, you know, and I thought, you know, he just didn't look like he should be a priest, right? Because you don't think of a priest as being really, really handsome.
Oh, yeah?
But this guy, he was.
Jesus was.
And they were in cassocks, and they had the old hats on. Mm-hmm. And then there were these three nuns. One of them was just, talk about ugly. And I'm saying that seriously. I mean, really,
I don't like where this is going.
So I thought, well, you know, what's going on? Because, and I don't, you like to use the word ugly, but I mean, they just made her look ugly. They made
she
her
had
look,
a mean streak about
she
her.
Just, yeah, she just looked, yeah. What, she looked
sounds
bad.
Like many, it sounds like many of them.
No, we don't want to say that.
I'm not saying that all of them
are. No, because the other two were fine, but this was, you know, I thought, you know, wow.
There must have been a reason for that.
But then there were all these cameras, you know, and so I thought, well, there must be some kind of, they're going to do some kind of, there's some, because there's always some drama going on in Rome. There's something that's going on. And then I sat down and I sit outdoors and I was having my coffee and I was watching all these camera people and I realized, oh, they're filming something. But I didn't realize because now the priest, the bishop, the nuns, they were in different places. And then all of a sudden the priest walked into the set, the really handsome priest, you know. And I thought this must be a movie or something. Mm-hmm. And then then you begin to recognize you got all the extras, all these people. And then at the opposite end of from where I was sitting was a table, and they had this guy, he looked like kind of mafiosa.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they were filming a movie. And it was an American movie because these were all with American accents and the director and all that. And
did the mafioso look kind of like Oscar?
No. But he did. He looked, and then they had this young guy who was part who came to the table. You know, when they were shooting. You know, everybody. Then everybody's all these priests, and they're just walking to the plaza, and they get these other people. It's just amazing, and people can watch. They had to stand at the obelisk. I was fortunate because I was inside the in the outdoor restaurant. Sitting at my table, but they were filming at the opposite end, so I didn't have to move. In fact. And they kept repeating the scene over and over. So the young guy comes, and he's nervous. You can see he's nervous. And he talks to the guy and at the who's seated at the table. And you got other people seated at the tables behind them, pretending like they're reading the paper and drinking coffee or having a conversation. They're extras as well. And then the guy, the young guy, pulls out the chair opposite the mafioso, and he sits down. And then the guy opened up. There was a briefcase, and he unzipped it. And I was close enough. I watched, and there was a gun inside. And so he then re-zipped it, and then the young guy took it and he put it in his lap. And then they're having this conversation, but I couldn't understand what was being said. But it was just fascinating. And when I finished, I was able to even just as close as I am to Jerry here in the studio, I was able to stand watching because then they're doing this scene over and over from different angles.
Yes.
It was really, really fascinating. Then that night, walking to another plaza, I watched the a chase scene with a gun. Yeah, but it was a woman with a gun chasing this other guy. But anyway, it was so those weren't priests. It wasn't a bishop. But one, those weren't nuns. They were. But I thought it was sad that they had to portray that one nun in such a way. It didn't make any.
They did that for a reason, like Tony said.
I want to see this movie now.
I should have asked what movie it was, you know, because I, you know.
Now I'm going to have to look through all these movies.
So I tried, you know, I tried to get in the way to see if maybe they'd allow me in the picture or something. They might say, oh, hey, you know.
We need you.
But, you know, by the way, they had people walking through the plaza during the filming that were oblivious to what
they
was going
know.
On, and they would have been part of this. Anyway, interesting. But the day before, the first day that I was in the plaza, I was just reflecting. I was praying in the office and all that, and this is before I made my walk to Santa Maria in Trastevere. And I was just thinking about the shortness of life, you know. Because here I am, almost 60 years old, and I was thinking about that. How many all these years I've been to Rome, and 30 years as a priest, and I just was thinking about, because here you're in this plaza, and you think of, you know, this because you've got the Pantheon, which is the most it's complete. It's an edifice. It was a temple that was built to the gods, and then when the empire collapsed. Or maybe even before the collapse of the empire, but when Christianity became legal, then it became the church of Santa Maria of the martyrs, of the martyrs, the Christian martyrs. And there are kings that are buried there, and Raphael, the painter, is buried there. But it's one of the only complete structures from the empire that still exists. It's just overwhelming. It's so powerful, so big. And so I was thinking about all the people that have walked through that plaza. As I'm sitting there watching these people come moving, you know, they come in, because you come from four different places, right? Almost five different places into the plaza. And people are walking, and then they got the obelisk, because all of them have an obelisk in the middle of the plazas. Rome is full of plazas. But anyway, I was thinking about that, you know, and how everybody, and it was reflecting on my own life, I thought, you know, in some ways you feel like you've done nothing, so little, you know, your life seems like, you know, I feel, here, I'm 30 years a priest, I'm almost 60 years old, and I still feel like a baby, I still feel like I'm a learning, you know, what have I learned, what have I done, where's the wisdom that I should have acquired by this time, as well as the language, you know, and all that. But you think about these things, you know, it's just, life is so short. It's so short. We do our bit and then we're gone, you know. And that's what I was thinking about, you know, the shortness of life, but the gift of life, the gift of life that everybody does their part. And I think about the people who built that Pantheon. You think about the people who built all the buildings around us. As I said yesterday, I just find the city, and that's why I love to be in the city, I just find it fascinating. But anyway, having thought about that, and when I say the shortness of life, not in a negative sense, but that's the reality. And to appreciate, you know, what the gift of life, and yes, to do our part, as insignificant as it may seem to us, but to do what we have to do, and then we go on, then we move on, we do our bit, and then we pass from this life into the next. But, you know, so here we are, we have this little bit of time, and yet these, in this case, the Pantheon has been in existence over maybe 2,000 years, let's say, more or less. I forgot I think it predates. I'm not sure exactly when it was built, but it's almost if not 2,000, a little over 2,000, mm-hmm. a little under 2,000 years old. And then from there, I went to Santa Maria in Trastevere for what? To pray, and I come into a funeral. And so I was there for the funeral, Emiliano, pobre Emiliano, the poor Emiliano who died. But they said beautiful things about him, you know, so I thought it was a...
Gee,
was,
I wish I'd known him. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just saw, you know, I thought about the poor blessed Emiliano, you mm-hmm. know, poor blessed Emiliano, that his work is done.
Mm-hmm.
His work is done. And so
but,
it was,
but then you think, who's the poor? He's already done, and we're still over here struggling.
No, well, we, in the work of life.
In the work of mm-hmm. life.
And that's the thing, that's the, what I want to impress mm-hmm. upon everybody, too. And by the way, and so how does this, you know, so that you don't think it's all about me, because it does go back to the readings yesterday, mm-hmm. wasn't it? I mean, because St. Paul, and mm-hmm. this was the second reading yesterday, he said, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
And from now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully, for the world in its present form is passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, you know, and this is what come through in the gospel as well yesterday when Jesus says, you know, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And put aside everything and come and follow me, as he said to, you know, to Simon, Andrew, James, mm-hmm. and John. And they left there, and they followed Jesus. They left everything and followed the Lord. And the point is, you know, that even in Paul's letter, is it God at the center? You know, we come from God, we go to God, and God we live. And this is, and every beautiful thing in life, you know, how many times we even repeat this on the radio, mm-hmm. but eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. And that in the work of life, we do our bit, we do our part, and it is labor. Mm-hmm. Even being there was work, because, you know, you go through loneliness and boredom, and then you've got to deal with the weather, and then, of course, you got the exhilarating moments when you just feel this, this is so, if I could just stay here forever.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you about a timeless moment I had too, you know, that was very beautiful, and you relish those moments when mm-hmm. everything just kind of comes together, and it just seems, wow, this is so beautiful. And then you got to get up and you got to move on, yeah. You know.
It's like being mm-hmm. on Mount Tabor.
You're pushed off the mountain, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
Jesus, you got to get off this mountain. Like Peter yeah. said, yeah, you're right, because Peter, you know, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of the
right.
mountain,
mm-hmm.
and he was transfigured. Mm-hmm. And they had fallen asleep, and then they awaken, and Jesus is transfigured. And Peter said, Lord, it is so good that we're here. Let us stay here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll build a tent for you, for Moses, for Elijah, because they appeared alongside the Lord. And then you had the voice of the Father who said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And, of course, what did Jesus say? No, Peter, we're not going to stay here. We got to go down off the mountain. We got to make our way to the holy city. Mm-hmm. We got to be about the work of life, even unto death. And so that's true. But we do have those and we
moments.
Have to, you know, I think what we have to do every day, you know, we have to accept the fact that mm-hmm. that life is work. It, because, you know, the other thing is the monotony of life.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, even as I was there, and it's funny because I'm walking around and I don't have the distraction.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
have a meeting to go to. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody who's calling my name. I don't have, you know, it's just being able to be in the midst mm-hmm. of the people. And of course, like I said, it's a biting cold sometimes when it rains, and you gotta grapple with those cobblestone street, I walked about mm-hmm. 5 hours a day, and then you walk to the point where you're almost exhausted, and you can't wait to, you know, and that becomes work. I walked around the Vatican twice once, you know, just because I wanted the exercise too. So I walked the whole around the Vatican twice in one morning.
Wow.
It just took me about 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
but you're going up these hills and down the hills and all that. And like I said, you know, there's moments of loneliness, moments when you're mm-hmm. bored, moments when you say, what am I doing here? I should be back at, you know, and then, of course, the beautiful time of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what fascinates me is being able to reflect on the work of life, how everybody is necessary, everybody is needed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. Then when we come back, I want to talk about that and about that we have to, you know, recognize and receive and enjoy the little bit of a respite that God gives us mm-hmm. every day in the midst of life's work, you know. And if it means you know, a cup of coffee, if it mm-hmm. means a glass of wine with the pasta, the pizza, whatever, if it means the... And because the other thing I thought of, you know, because I'm alone, but my companion is the Lord, mm-hmm. so I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're in the midst of all these people, so you're not alone, but you're not part of their life.
Right.
In the sense that, you know, you see the families and you see and life is to be shared. Mm-hmm. It's to be shared. And there's a part of me that's saying, here I am alone, you know, I'm a priest, I'm not married, I don't have my own children, but I do have my people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why am I here when I should be with the people? But then I realized that this is retreat.
Yes.
This is retreat. This is where Jesus, too, he went to the desert, to the wilderness, to the top of the mountain. I go to the city, you know, mm-hmm. I go to the city, and he wanted me there for a reason, right? Because he mm-hmm. wants, okay, this is your time with me, and I want to speak to you, and I want to show you, I want to mm-hmm. open your eyes and see, watch, look, you know? And one of the things, and I come back with, as I always do, it seems, is that everybody is necessary, mm-hmm. from the person who's cleaning the streets to the person who is tending to the sick, to the person who's moving people around, you know, on those trams, on the taxi cab or whatever. But let me come back and talk about the monotony of life as well, because there is something about that that I wanna say, okay? But we do have to take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We live in an age when our media pursues the trivial and covers press conferences in order to find out what happened to 2 pounds of air in a football and ignores 400,000 people marching for life in the nation's capital. And what is even more telling is how most of the media ignores the bombing of churches and the torture and the ongoing murder of thousands of Christians in the Middle East at the hands of radical Muslim extremists. Find out what is important and how you can help by attending Lake County's Right to Life benefit to support the Iraqi Christian Relief Council Saturday, February 14th at Marytown, 1600 West Park Avenue in Libertyville, Illinois. Juliana Tamarazzi, the president and founder of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, will tell you how you can help with your prayers and financial support. Sign-in is at 6:30 till 8:30 a.m., followed by Holy Mass. Then at 9:30, Juliana will tell you the truth and what you need to do to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East. Just $10 to help. RSVP phone number is 847-223-7022. That's 847-223-7022. Complete details at lcrtf.org. That's lcrtf.org. Or the Lake County Right to Life's Potluck Benefit Breakfast to help the Iraqi Christian Relief Council at Marytown, Saturday morning, February 14th. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
People often ask me, what is the difference between an Eastern Catholic and a Latin Rite Catholic? Hello, I'm Father Thomas J. Loya with an Eastern Christian Moment. The difference between Eastern Catholicism and Roman or Western Catholicism is not a difference in belief, nor is it just a matter of different customs and traditions. Rather, it is a difference of theological emphasis, of seeing the same thing but from different vantage points, according to the respective genius of both lungs of the Church. For instance, in Western spirituality, there is an emphasis of man striving towards God and how the accomplishments of man point to the greatness of God. This emphasis became expressed in the tall verticality of Gothic church architecture and in works of famous artists and composers. In the East, the starting point is God's transcendence, which becomes immanent and incarnate. This emphasis became expressed in the domes, arches, and iconography of the Eastern churches. East and West may differ in emphasis, but they both arrive at the same place of the one true God. To find out more about the Eastern Lung of the Church, go to easternchristianmedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's good to be back. It really is. Kind of. But anyway, but I wanted to say something about the, because I've just come back from Rome. I was there a little over 2 weeks. 2 weeks, really, because in the traveling time, so it was, it was 2 weeks. It would have been 3 weeks, but I cut it short. Anyway, to do a good deed, right?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yay.
But anyway, the one of the things is, this is what fascinates me. I've mentioned this many times before, but I think we have to stop and think about this, is the inner workings of a city. That's why, you know, people might say, well, why don't you, because of the mountains, we even have a shrine, Our Lady of Mentorella, and I've gone there. In fact, I took Christina's brother there when I was in sabbatical. Mm-hmm. He was visiting Rome, and it's absolutely beautiful up in the mountains, and all that. And I love the mountains. I love the nature and all that. But the city fascinates me.
Yeah.
And I need to be among the people in this posture of prayer, in an ambiance of prayer. And again, that prayer is what? But it's a listening. It's a being. Can I just be in the presence of God and let the Lord show me what he wants to show me, you know, within, you know, something about me, something about others, whatever. But what fascinates me is the inner working of life in a city that people built the city. And to make it work, everybody's needed. As I said, from the people who clean the streets to the people who, you know, prepare the meals, for the people who tend to the sick, the people who govern, the people who protect, the people who teach, the people who...
Transportation,
you know, the people who create, you know, the creative energy, you know, we need the arts and, you know, the architect, you know, just everybody, everybody. There's nobody that's not needed. Everybody has a purpose. Now, having said that, what amazes me is, you know, when I go there, it's just seeing the same people in the same place doing the same thing. And I sit there and I think, you know, the monotony of it all, you know. Like I fantasize about being, you know what I fantasize about doing?
No.
Just to drive the tram. Be the driver, you know, to drive the tram. And then I thought, well, could I do that every day, you know? But I love to be on the tram, and because you see the people, they're coming off, they're going, and you see the city as you're driving and all. Because I wouldn't want to be in a metro because it's below the ground, but to be in to drive a tram, or to have a little coffee shop, you know, people come and you know there's coffee shops everywhere there. And
we'd come, Father. You'd come.
Yeah. But not that you'd. I don't know that I'd want you to be there, Chair. You know, so.
Oh well, thank you. Thank you for your support.
No, of course.
I would pay.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Now, would you be the? You would own the coffee shop, or you would just be one of the workers?
Well, it's a good question. I think I'd want to be. Probably, you know, that now that you're asking, I would say I'd want to be an owner, but maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't want that responsibility.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Cause it's just the stress right there.
Right.
Make the coffee.
But the same people doing the same thing, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, so it's been a year since I've been there. It's been 5 years or 6 years since my sabbatical. And even before, and yet the same people, even the same people begging in the same place.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that. Around Rome, there's a lot of people that are suffer severe deformities. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody told me that it's part of a networking or something or whatever, what would you call it, but that some people are purposely deformed.
Oh, my.
Oh.
As a way of... begging, you know, then they become professional beggars in a sense. I can't tell you whether that's the case or not, but I've heard that from a number of people that you see some really very sad things, but the same people in the same place. There's this one guy, as you're walking, it's on Ottaviano Street coming from the metro area towards the Vatican, and that's where when I lived in the sabbatical, I was just right around the corner from that, but I thought all these years he's every day sitting there in the same, and he was a young man, and he's getting older too. As we're all getting older, you can see that he's aging. But that's what he does every day. And he's got a little cup out there, you know. The people put money in it, and then you've got the gypsies, of course, too. You know that they've got their own.
They got their work there.
Their work too, but they have their same posts. Yeah, you know, they're the same places where they're at, and. The same people around the Vatican, you know, that come up asking for money. The same guy, this one guy, God bless him, he's so sweet, you know, and he...
we're not even going to go there, right?
No, I mean...
Sweetness.
No, what I say, he's got
like
this...
Like the motorcycle driver.
Yeah, the bikerman.
No. No, we're not going to do that. But he's got this sweetness about him, you know, this poor... Like, you think, oh, my gosh, I'll give you not 5 euro, I'm going to give you 10 euros or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
He knows how to work it.
He does, and I watch, but he's always there. He's always there. You see him, and this is every. But aside from that, even the monotony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about these people are here doing the same thing every day. I think of the people from a lot of them from Bangladesh who are selling the umbrellas or selling the scarves, you know, in the streets. And this is, you know, what to get enough money to provide for their families or whatever. You know, just. you know, when you talk about the work of life and the monotony of all things. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, you know, but then if they were to come here, you know, in a sense, you know, okay, Monday, Tuesday, you know, I'm doing the same thing that I do every day, mm-hmm. right? You know, we all, sure. we all basically, so there's something about life, the monotony of life, the mundane.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Every day is a new day. Every day we got to drag ourselves out of bed. We got to get into the work of life, you know, and it's, you know, it's you can yes. you can go to the cinema, you can, you know, fantasize about the, you know, the illusion of life with the beautiful music in the back. Although I have to say, you know, that's the other beautiful thing about Rome is you've got beautiful music
in the background.
In the background, you go into the piazzas, you can people playing the violin or playing
singing.
I did give my. I have to tell you, this was really a beautiful thing too because I say beautiful, but I was walking one evening. I think I was on my way to Santa Maria. Trastevere, and there was a guy singing Bob Dylan songs.
Oh,
and he had the hat and everything, and it was so good. Oh, I was mesmerized, you know, because he was so good and a young guy, and I was kind of behind him, and he had his little guitar case
mm-hmm.
open, you know, for people to put the money there. And I did give him money because I felt, you know, he deserved it. I suppose everybody
And you enjoyed it.
It was so very... it was so nice. But the the overriding theme is the very thing that St. Paul said yesterday is that the time is running out.
Yes.
And the world in its present form is passing away. And so yes, we do our bit. And it can become monotonous, and it became, you know, we can get bored with our own lives. We can become lonely and tired,
mm-hmm.
and we do. Who doesn't? Mm. But not to be deceived by the evil one who tries to pull us away from what is the work of our life. You know, and that goes back to, you know, if it means protecting and safeguarding the marriage and the family. You know, but it's you get the sense of what I'm
even like yes. when you mentioned Father about being there, that your companion was the breviary and God, just like Jesus when he went out to the desert to be there to have that intimacy with God, with the Father, and for him it was hard to be away from the Father, and he must have gone through the same thing, the times of loneliness and.
Well, it's part of life,
it's
you know.
Part of, yeah.
mm-hmm. There's a restlessness mm-hmm. in all yes. of us, you know. We're going home, you know, we're on a journey.
Yes.
Yes, the world is passing away but we're given this gift of life sure. that is forever.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of the testing ground. Mm-hmm. This is where we have to be about the work of life yeah. in a sense. And what again goes back to this creative energy. Mm-hmm. I'll bring this up maybe later because I found it kind of relates to what I'm talking about, but I was reading an article called A Co-Creator with Christ, and it goes back to Genesis, you know, the tasks. Mm-hmm. That have been entrusted to the human person, to all of us. And what are those tasks? God creates from nothing. We create using the things God supplies us with. We're created in the image and likeness mm-hmm. of God. We are. We're sub-creators, mm-hmm. sub-creators, and we have to teach children how to cooperate with God in the work of creation. So in Genesis, it points to five. Tasks given to the human race by God. And what are they? But they're marriage, fruitfulness, rule, work, and worship.
Mm.
And we'll talk about that at some other point.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not married, our lives have to be, this is Jesus has given us this other model, either, you know, we're in family, married, you know, or committed to life, or certainly, we have to be, okay, what am I saying? If we're not married, if we're single, then our life has to be given over completely to the Lord. Even in marriage, of course, you know,
sure.
because
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, God has to be first. But
right.
but in marriage, a husband, like Tony, your commitment is to your wife. I mean, you have a commitment to your wife. You know, she is part of your salvation story, right? You know? Your transformation, your purification, your sanctification, your salvation, you know, Jesus working in and through that marriage. And but yet we're still all alone, you know, in a
mm-hmm,
sense that
mm-hmm.
when we pass from this life into the next, we each make that passage mm-hmm. alone. But again, going back that we do our bit and then we move on. Now, I want to say something because we're running out of time. I can see. Wait, is that right? Is that 12:54?
Oh, wow.
Is it? Oh, this clock is wrong. Oh, my gosh. See, I get this clock shows something out. Anyway, okay. Well, I don't think I'm not gonna have time to say it. Well, let me just say it real
say
quick,
it.
Okay?
Sure.
Got a few minutes. One of the 5 minutes? Yeah, let me just kind of conclude with this end.
Good.
Because one of the things that happened while I was there, as everybody knows, was the killing of the 12 members of the Charlie Hebdo.
Yes, and Paris.
Satirical, the Satirical magazine and all that. And I was watching, of course, BBC and the CNN International. And what was amazing to me is the extent to which people were reminded that, you know, these were radicalized Muslims who did this. And, of course, most of the Muslims are this is a religion of peace, and they kept emphasizing it's a religion of peace, and I'm not going to challenge that.
No, no.
But what happened was after the fact, and there was the big millions of people that came out in protest in defense of free speech and all that, then they, on the cover of their magazine, they had the Prophet Muhammad weeping with the words, "All is forgiven." And what was amazing to me, you know, is the media, BBC, CNN International, the broadcasters, the utmost reverence and respect that they gave to the Prophet Muhammad, and even interviewing the Muslims, moderate Muslims and all that. And it was a beautiful thing, really, in the sense as they spoke about their Prophet Muhammad. And that this is an offense, and this is a sacrilege, this depicting him on this magazine, and that, you know, it was a. But what bothered me, what brought great sadness to me is, where do you hear Jesus, the Christ, spoken about, you know, with such reverence and such respect, and it confounds. It's perplexing to me, you know. I think I understand perhaps a little bit. I was saying yesterday, you know, Jesus was rejected, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And as it was, so it is. I do think, you know, that as Christians, as Catholics, we heard the call yesterday, a very urgent call to repent.
Yeah.
Repent. Jesus, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And I do believe that I ask the question now on the radio, but what do we need to repent of as a nation, as families, as individuals, as persons? What do we need to repent of? I think, you know, our lack of regard for Christ, for Jesus, that same reverence, that same respect, so that we live so as not to offend him. We live in gratitude for what God has done and given in and through Jesus. Anyway, we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Thanks for being with us. It's good to be back. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Become so obscure, it does not take that.